Wait, did you hear that? Those are the sounds of your customers reaching out to your competition. That's okay. There's a solution. Alpha Media. Alpha Media specializes in helping small businesses grow through audio, video, or online marketing. Where your customers are, your business should be. Heck, you're hearing this ad. Think of how many of your customers you could be reaching now. Request your free consultation today at advertisepnw.com and start growing your business.
Hey, it's John Canzano here for Shoe Mill, and let me tell you about my favorite brand of shoes for getting stuff done and enjoying life hands-free. Kizik is the leader in hands-free footwear technology. Just step into a pair of Kizik and go. Make the most of the extended daylight, warmer weather, and tackling the to-do list with Kizik. And they're backed by Shoe Mill's year-in-a-day love your shoes guarantee. Try on a pair today at Shoe Mill. They put the world at your feet.
We are really good in general roof care and roof replacements. Roof Life of Oregon.
From the Pacific Office Automation Studios, this is KXTG Portland, your home of Dan Patrick. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., 7:50 The Game. BFFT. Now, built by High Caliber Millwrights, in for John Canzano, here's Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn with the bald-faced truth.
For Raleigh, who's already got one, he steps in and another one. Cal Raleigh, a three-run shot, second of the night.
When the Mariners get on Sunday Night Baseball, you know, it happens once in a blue moon, but you got to appreciate it. Another opening day is upon us. Mariners season starts tomorrow. Big league season is officially, technically underway after the Japan series with the Dodgers and Cubbies. But come on, really, it gets going tomorrow. And I want to get a sense of what the Mariners are looking at this year. Cal Raleigh highlight off the top because he got the bag. He got a big extension this week, which is always a nice way to start, at least for the fan base. Now, I love baseball. I'm a big league fan. I'm a Cardinal fan at heart. So the Mariners, even though I grew up in this region and they were my regional team, I think the lack of success that they had between 01 and 2022, essentially, made it hard to really become a P1 Mariner fan, as it were. And all my big league experience was really, you know, going to games in St. Louis whenever I got out there to the Midwest. But there's a lot of Mariner fans in our region. Obviously, there's probably a burgeoning, you know, baseball market and fan base here in Portland as well with the possibility of a big league team. And I want to get a sense of what the Mariners are looking like this year. TJ Mathewson is one half of the Marine Layer podcast. It's a great podcast, been doing it for a little bit. Lyle Goldstein is co-host, and they got a new website, and you can always get your Mariner audio content by subscribing to their podcast, the Marine Layer Podcast. And TJ joining us on the line right now, and more specifically over Google Meet. Let's see how he sounds. What's up, TJ?
What's up, guys? How do I sound?
Oh, you sound silky smooth, man.
Oh, great. You sound, that's a win.
Sound like a George Kirby, you know. What's George Kirby's best pitch these days? I know he keeps adding one.
It's still his fastball, I think.
All right, still his fastball. Who's your favorite Mariner pitcher in the rotation right now?
I think it's really hard to say against Logan Gilbert for me, because he is, I mean, aside from the results he had last year, which was the best pitch season the Mariners have had in 10 years, he's everything you want, and he's one of the poster boys of what this Mariners team is actually so good at, which I think it's overlooked a lot based off of all the negativity that goes on for this, you know, this franchise throughout an offseason, mostly due to their own constraints and bad PR situations, but like what it shows when things work out, they work out pretty well. And yeah, and Logan Gilbert, I mean, he dude throws 100 miles an hour and he's got like five other pitches he can throw, and you don't know what he's going to throw, and it's all incredibly nasty. He's awesome.
Doing an off season of Mariners content after coming up just short of making the playoffs each of the last couple of years. What was the off season like for you guys on the podcast?
How was it? It was entertaining. It's never not entertaining with this team. The least they could do was be boring. And even though in the baseball transaction sense, they were incredibly boring. They added one big leaguer to their 26-man roster this offseason, on the hitting side, that is. While it was that, I don't think it lacked entertainment value because I think people knew what was going on, and that gave people a reason to give us entertainment. We gave ourselves entertainment. There's plenty of speculation out there, which is probably my favorite part of the offseason, and I think a lot of what other people really like about the offseason. But unfortunately, once you got to the end of it, you sat there and you looked back and you said, well, they really didn't do a whole lot. But it didn't really feel like that based on just the amount of stuff that swirls around and the other storylines you could potentially talk about as this, you know, season goes along. I wish they did more. They probably should have. And if they miss the playoffs, it'll be a direct result of that.
Baseball, TJ, is so much fun because when the season starts, I feel like every fan base feels like they have a chance. We're like in the NFL and the NBA, especially the NBA, like the Blazer fans knew they didn't have a chance this year. But in baseball, it's like, you know what? It's springtime. We can make a run. How can Mariner fans be hopeful when you even said they acquired one major league hitter in the offseason on a team that was historically terrible hitting the baseball? How can they be motivated and be happy with what's going on and feel like they have a chance to make the playoffs or make even a run because the pitching staff is so good?
Guys, the American League this year is bad. I think the American League leader this year could win like 92 games. Mm. Like the number one seed in the entire league can win 92 games. I think right now the Yankees are still projected as the number one team in the league, but they lost their best pitcher to Tommy John. He's going to be out. Gerrit Cole's going to be out all season. There's like a wide open runway for somebody to go out there and win the league this year. I don't think any of those teams in the East are head and shoulders better than anyone in the West. Everyone's flawed at this point. There's some sort of flaw in every single team across baseball. And if the Mariners turn around the mirror and look at themselves, they're like, all right, so we had a disappointing offseason, but man, I like our strength better than anyone else's strength. And I would back that up. I don't think anyone else in the American League has a strength like the Mariners have in their starting rotation. Like that's, I think, really what you sell it at. And besides that, there might be four or five games, I think, that separate all of the playoff teams this year if everyone plays how I think they're going to play and the expectations are this season. It gives all that opportunity in the world that, hey, we just get hot at home. We play like we did at home last year. You don't have to score a ton of runs in the ballpark if you have this pitching staff and still win a bunch of games. And then just be a little bit better on the road and, you know, things will take care of themselves.
TJ Mathewson, the Marine Layer podcast, talking a little Mariners baseball on the eve of opening day with us here. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano on the Bald-Faced Truth. So you talk about that. You guys had Aaron Goldsmith on recently. Goldie's great. He's one of my favorites and such a good broadcaster. But he was kind of going back in his notes and looking at how a team like the Royals could do what they did last year and unpacking it and making the playoffs number one and giving the Yankees a nice little run there in the LDS and unpacking some of the causes of that and reevaluating number one. Bobby Witt Jr. is really, really good, and he had a spectacular season last year. And then they had enough bats around him that did enough, that did what they were supposed to do, that were good, not great, but good was good enough when you had a season like they had with Bobby Witt Jr. And then kind of drawing that parallel to the Mariners, could Julio Rodriguez have that type of a season, a Bobby Witt Jr. type of season? And then around that, is there enough offense to supplement that and to make it a run like the Royals could make? What do you think?
Judah, before I answer your question, there's a huge difference between the Royals and the Mariners last year. The Royals did not blow a 7-0 lead in a game the two played against each other. Right. That if that script flips, we're having a different discussion right now.
And isn't like, that amazing? Because you could argue that's one data point in 162. And yet
it's one game and it would have been the entire difference of the season.
You think so? Like it had that much weight.
They would have been in the playoffs. Yeah, they would have, because the Royals, they were a game back of the Royals.
Does Scott Service, keep his job?
That's a good question, because all these other things changed. They still would have probably been terrible in August. And they would have had a rejuvenated September. I would say, Judah, yeah. Steven and Judah, I would say, yeah, he still would have been canned. And then Dan Wilson would have come in and led this essentially very fun story into the playoffs. You hire a, should have been interim, but apparently full-time manager at that point, and he leads you to the playoffs, and then that justifies everyone's decisions.
So the Royal comparison, aside from the one game, the Julio part of this, where do we stand with him right now after, you know, obviously he's an iconic player, but you got to have that season-long consistency. Without it, it makes things tough.
Consistency is I've gotten some different opinions on this in the last few weeks on Julio. I'm in the belief that consistency for him is a good thing. I think he was very consistent as a rookie outside of a terrible first month. That rookie season he had was the flagpole of his career so far. He was from May till September was pretty good every month. Some months he was slightly less good, but in general he was good most of those months outside of being terrible in April. The thing is about the next 2 years of his career, including last year, he's been bad some months and he's been really good some other months. And it's in the end, not been good enough in totality. If you look at it at the end of the season. So we had Jason Churchill on earlier this week on our podcast, and he's not a huge, like, consistency matters. I care about the final result. I care about what your numbers look like at the end of the season. And if you are where you want to be, because if Julio finishes as a 50% better than league average hitter at the end of the season, no one cares that he stunk for 2 months, because at the end he was that kind of player at the end of the season. But I don't think I'm in that boat. I would like a little bit more consistency from Julio, because the rest of the offense around him, while I think it's solid, there are still a lot of ifs floating around. And if Julio's just a little bit more consistent, those ifs really don't matter as much. There's none of these issues that the Mariners have offensively if Julio's good. If he's just good, people don't talk about the Mariners offense the same way if Julio does what he's supposed to do. So I think that's like the number one thing outside of everything they did this offseason. Even if they added, like, I don't know, Juan Soto this offseason in some miracle, stuff matters a lot less if Julio's not as good. I think he's going to be good this season. I feel like at age 24, this is when things, you know, really click. He understands what he's done wrong and what he needs to be better at.
I mean, you're right on. Julio's still so young, and he's played so much Major League Baseball already. Like, he's going to get better. But you talk about the what-ifs on offense, TJ. It's Julio. You need Julio. You need Cal Raleigh. You need Rosarena in his first full year with the Mariners. Who's, like, the Mariners' X-factor hitter that can step up and really make this team go from being a terrible hitting team to an average hitting team? And then you're looking at maybe an AL West championship with how good the pitching staff is. Who's that guy in the lineup or on that roster that you think needs to really have a nice season to elevate Mariners?
I think the two biggest boom or bust players, J.P. Crawford and Victor Robles, both, I think, playing for similar things, maybe longer-term viability into their careers. I think the two of them are at different stages in their careers at this point. Victor Robles just signed an extension last year. J.P. has just this year left, I believe, on his contract going into next offseason. So he's got some question marks in front of him, too. And both are coming off, I'd say, polar opposite seasons. J.P. career worst, Vic career best. But they both fill a crucial role. I think Victor Robles is going to be at the top of this lineup. He's going to be setting the table in front of Julio. And I think J.P. Crawford is going to be the nine-hole hitter, essentially hitting in front of Victor Robles, but at the bottom of the lineup. Each brings something, I think, that is very different, but very crucial to what this team needs. I think when J.P. Crawford had his breakout season in 2023, he did something at the top of that lineup that I think is really hard to match in baseball. The on-base skills, the added power skills, the ability to play a position up the middle, those are pretty rare. Those are some of the best players in baseball, and you list off all of those accomplishments. You want JP to find some form of that. I think there still is some version of JP Crawford in there. I just don't know how much of that they're going to get. With Victor Robles, the efficiency he played with last year was the greatest compliment to the Mariners' flaws last year. They struck out too much. They didn't get on base enough. They didn't hit enough doubles. What did Victor Robles do? He was a line drive hitter. He didn't try and sell out for power. He didn't strike out a lot. It was the antithesis of their struggles last year. And it really helped them solve a lot of their problems and led to them having a much better offensive stretch in September when they almost came back and made the playoffs. If they get more of that from Victor Robles this season, and we were talking to Cal Raleigh down at spring training, we were down in Arizona, he's fully on board with Victor Robles. He thinks what we saw last year with Vic is 100% real, and he thinks he's going to repeat that here in 2025. I think if they get that out of Victor Robles, they're going to make the playoffs this year.
TJ Mathewson joining us, covers the Mariners on the Marine Layer podcast, and they just launched a new website too, which is pretty cool too.
Isn't that fun?
If you're a Mariner fan, you got to be listening to the Marine Layer pod with TJ and Lyle. And if you recognize TJ's name and voice, he has written for us over the years at 750thegame.com, and he was a long time at 1240 Joe Radio in Corvallis as well, covering the Beavs at Oregon State. So he's probably you're probably familiar with his name and voice around the area too, TJ. You just mentioned Cal Raleigh, and your guys' spring training content was really great. But Cal gets the bag. He gets the big extension, and it was a welcome news for Mariner fans, and it's going to really play well in public too. And another thing you guys said about it on your pod was, you know, Cal, this is the best catcher in baseball that you have on your team. And for those of us that are kind of casually following MLB, but we might not be big Mariner fans or elsewhere, we're like, Cal Raleigh is the best catcher in baseball. Number one, what does the extension mean for Cal and the Mariners, and what makes him baseball's best catcher in your opinion right now?
What it does for the Mariners, it gives them some stability from a financial standpoint in the future. There's a lot of the reason they hadn't spent the last couple of seasons is because they said they had a lot of financial uncertainty of what their payroll is going to look like, what their revenue is going to look like. Extending players drastically helps that. It gives a lot more certainty to what kind of money you're going to have to be doling out. For Cal Raleigh, it gives him certainty. If you peel back, paired with his arbitration years, which he had 3 arb years left remaining anyways, the contract comes out to about 3 for 70 while buying out some of his arbitration years and giving him a little bit more guaranteed money, which is, it's great for him. He deserves every cent of that money. It's an endorsement, I think, from one of your homegrown players who's been critical of the organization publicly, that he still sees a bright future with this organization, and that he believes that he would want to play here long-term, and that I hope that other players would want to play here long-term as well. Some of the guys already on their own roster, or guys around Major League Baseball as well. What makes Cal Raleigh the best catcher in baseball? I think he's the best catcher in baseball. First of all, he's the best power-hitting catcher ever. No one has hit more home runs as a catcher in their first 4 seasons than Cal Raleigh.
Wow.
And he did it in 3. That's more than more than Johnny Bench.
Piazza?
More than Pudge Rodriguez. More than, throw Yogi Berra in there. no one has hit more than him. But he also won a platinum glove last year. We're talking about arm. We're talking about framing. His framing's unbelievable. We're talking about his blocking behind the plate. He brings a skill set that is pretty rare for catchers to have that power swing and to be consistent about it. He's not the greatest offensive player in the world, but if you ask Cal Raleigh to repeat what he did the last 3 years for 3 more years, people are going to take it. And for catchers who are so beat up with injuries, the dude's back there 140 games. It's probably the most valuable thing he does.
TJ, I want to ask you about Jerry DePoto, all the way from his 54% comments to his moves that he's made or he hasn't made, the contracts that he signed players to, the manager decisions. What do you grade Jerry DePoto on an A to F scale? I'm really interested to hear your answer because I think he's done not a great job. He's been put in a lot of situations where he's got really good players in the pitching staff. He's made no moves hitter-wise. But what's your view on Jerry DePoto if you had to give him an A to F scale?
Am I grading Jerry on his results or process?
All of it. The whole thing. The whole thing. The whole package.
Those, I would say, are 2 very different things. His results are a C. And I'm in the camp, if they don't make the playoffs this year, they should start over. But his process, I think, is pretty good. And a lot of this, let's be real, not his fault. It's not his fault he can't spend. I'm pretty sure Jerry DePoto would want to spend to make his roster significantly better if he had the opportunity.
So you think he's a good general manager?
I think he's a good general manager, and I think his development system and the people he's hired are phenomenal. This process can be great, but ultimately this is a results-based business. It's the same thing with Scott Service. The results just weren't there, so they decided to make a move. And if the results aren't there with Dan Wilson, sometime in the future, they'll make a move. And when you get 10 years at a job, and if you make the playoffs only one time, you can say, yeah, but it's like, well, it's been 10 years at this point. And if you don't get to your ultimate end goal, then I'm sorry, being higher than a C is difficult. But I like his process a lot. I think their drafting is phenomenal. I think they develop really good players. I just wish they could do a better job on selling players to play in Seattle. And I wish Jerry would just be a little bit better at talking to the media. It seems like every time he does a press conference, something goes wrong. Something. Even if he didn't mean to do it, something goes off the rails.
Sounds a lot like Joe or Neil Olshay to me. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. For someone that has been doing it as long as he's been doing it, you'd think that he'd be past all these media mistakes, you know, which is
he didn't used to be this way.
Right.
He used to be fine.
So maybe he's just getting older and just letting it loose, you know.
Until the 54% comments, I cannot think of a time when Jerry DePoto pretty much shot himself in the foot.
Nintendo patches on the sleeves. What do you think of this with the uniforms?
Here's the selling point for Nintendo packages. I don't get the outrage over how they look. Like, who cares? Come on. It's not like people really, if you really care about that, you should reevaluate a couple things. I'm serious about that. I think it's a good thing because this is one of the revenue factors that factored into them signing Cal Raleigh, them comfortable giving him money. I don't know how much they're getting from that Nintendo patch, but these are real financial stabilizers for the future. And consider this, guys. They didn't approach Cal Raleigh about an extension as of last week. March 17th, Ryan Divish talked to Cal Raleigh for their Seattle Times preview edition. Cal said they didn't have an extension offer on the table. That Nintendo patch gets announced. Root Sports streaming package goes up. And now Cal has an extension. I think there is a tiny bit of relation between all those.
And tell us about the streaming package, because I saw that that news came out a little bit. And how, is that a game changer of any kind, or what does that bring to fans this year?
Some people don't want to spend $70, $70 to $100 on Fubo, or however much more you're paying for cable. So you can only watch the Mariners on Root Sports for $20 a year. Perfect. Get all the other Root Sports programming. There's not much these days, I'll be honest, but you do get Mariner games at about 74 cents a pop. I'd say that's pretty good.
And is there any whiff up there about baseball in Portland being a thing? The MLB to PDX movement, and we're all over it. You know, we're talking about it whenever we get news about it, and the appetite is so strong here, and we can't wait for it. But from a Mariner standpoint, I can't imagine it's being well-received, but what kind of reaction, if any, do you hear and you get up there from possible baseball expansion and having that expansion potentially be in Portland?
I have not heard anything from people up here about it. Mm. It has not been much of a discussion.
Good. We're taking everybody by surprise. That's good.
Well, I'll tell you who wouldn't like that. Mariners would hate it.
Right. Some about a broadcast footprint. Who cares? Right.
Broadcast footprint. And give me your estimate on how many Mariner fans there are in Portland.
A lot. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, they've been on the radio, obviously, in Portland for such a long time. There was a year where they weren't, and people lost their minds. Trust me, I was getting those phone calls. And you know, they might be getting a little older, but that young next wave of baseball fans and that next wave of, the baseball demographic, I think you're probably leading the charge on a lot of that, TJ, and how people are consuming the game in the modern digital era, and with your guys' content and your podcast as well. But I think there's a huge appetite for baseball here. What I'm curious about is kind of similar to the NFL. There's the majority of NFL fans are Seahawks fans here, but there's a huge swath that are Niner fans from Bay Area ties. Their family grew up there or they moved up from there. So we get the Seattle and the San Francisco stuff. Then you're naturally going to get a lot of Steeler, Cowboys, Broncos here, and some Raiders as well from old AFC West days. From a baseball standpoint, you have a lot of Mariner fans here, and then you get your Yankees, Braves from the TBS stuff, right? I mean, and a lot of different crosshatch, but I wonder how many of those would convert to being, you know, primary Portland baseball fans. I think a decent amount, but I tell you what, part of it too is you miss the playoffs for as long as the Mariners did. You leave yourself vulnerable for something like this to happen.
Mariners have not done themselves many favors in drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
They've not done that.
It's
a good question, guys. I do think there would be some. It'd just be that much easier. And it's a long drive from Portland to Seattle. I know I did it quite a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'd be a lot easier to just go to the ballpark closer to you.
Well, before we let you go, let us know, you know, what your setup is, and obviously doing the Marine Layer podcast, what fans can expect from that frequency. and what you remember from your time in Corvallis all those many months ago covering Oregon State at 1240.
Well, in terms of our podcast programming, we're going to 3 episodes a week, not next week, but the week after. That'll be very exciting. So we'll have that much more to talk about. We got some merch going on our website. As you mentioned, marinelairpod.com, as we hope, like our one-stop shop for everything you need for us, merchandise, our live event schedule, which, by the way, if you're listening to this and you're up in the Seattle area, we do have a live event coming up on April 19th at Queen Anne Beer Hall, so that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be at 11 a.m. There's like a 12 o'clock Mariner game that day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm. So that's something you'd be interested in. Come on up. That would be totally awesome. Corvallis. Man, it's been 4 months already, Jude. I can't believe it's been 4 months without me being there.
We feel very your good absence. Memories. We miss you dearly.
I'm going to miss the football games. Yeah. I love covering college football. It's one of a kind, but I really did enjoy my time at Corvallis. It's crazy to me to think it's been that long since I've been there, but it's a great community down there. I didn't think how much a community would like imprint itself on me, but that one really did. It's special for anyone listening down there. You guys are awesome.
We appreciate your contributions with us at 750 over the years as well. And love the pod, Marine Layer Pod, wherever you get your podcast, and TJ at TJ Mathewson on Twitter X. TJ, great to connect with you again, my friend. And thanks for making time over Google Meet. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. It sounded great.
Love that. That is TJ Mathewson joining us on the show. When we come back, we'll play a little punch in audio, go around the world of sports, react to some of that as Mariners opening day is tomorrow. Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn in for Gonzano on the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, John Gonzano here. That recent cold snap, man, was it cold. But I can tell you this, it was comfortable and warm in our home. And that's something I probably take for granted because of the experts at First Call Heating and Cooling. They are the best. We installed a heating system with First Call Heating and Cooling. We get it serviced every year. Why? Because when we need it most, we want it functioning and we want it to last. Go to firstcallheat.com on the web. That's firstcallheat.com. First Call Heating and Cooling. CCB number 238967.
For over 45 years, Pacific Office Automation has been solving problems for business owners. However, the needs of our customers and potential customers have changed dramatically over the years, so we've changed too. If you run a business and want to find out how Pacific Office Automation